You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Wow, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 22nd, episode 3978, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
I felt like I'm lying saying good Monday morning. It's been a tough Monday. I should have said tough Monday morning, everybody.
Tough Monday morning to
you. Everybody. You had a tough night. We had some tech issues this morning. It took a while to figure out. We had to postpone our guest, I found out it was a bad cord. Cords go bad, I guess, but it was a matter of process and elimination figuring that out.
After blaming it on me, yeah. Because I had massive lightning storms last night.
Yeah, I saw one of our listeners post that they ended up, they were at Guthrie Arena or at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, and they were told to evacuate and go into the arena. You must have had a heck of a night.
It was a heck of a night. It was one of those, like, you watch the weather and they're like, oh, tomorrow's going to be tough. Well, tomorrow happened in the middle of the night. So I wasn't prepared. I don't think anybody was prepared for what happened. Was it was called a derecho, which is like
straight line winds
that just descended. And like, I went down to the barn and checked everybody. Horses were okay. They have sheds that they can go in. I typically would have brought them in, but I didn't know, which just leads to zero sleep. I mean, because there's nothing worse than a lightning storm going on outside and you can't do anything to help your animals. Like, it's so incredibly frustrating. And you just sit there and stress and stress and stress and stress. I have one of those like Ring Oro rings. And in the middle of the night, it notified me that you need to calm down. I can't calm down.
Pretty bad when your ring's yelling at you.
Yeah. It's like you need to calm down because you are having like elevated heart rate. And I know. No kidding.
Well, you know, super loud lightning will do that to you too. super loud thunder and lightning.
Yeah. And on and on. It was just awful. So long night, no sleep. So here we are. And then Glenn has technical issues. I thought it was me.
Yeah, I thought
so
your computer got fried.
Yeah, we've been tearing apart everything, but we're here by God.
Yeah, I don't know what the show is going to consist of because our guest was a main part of today's show. So it's just us. We're going to talk about whatever. Let's give our best to Katie, our auditor, who was at the Lazy E for the first time. She went to Oklahoma with her kids. We're doing a show there. I don't know if they were barrel racing, I think. But to get,
I know there's a big raining show in town.
They were all woken up in the night and told to bring their horses into the big arena. I'm sure there's a lot of very sleepy kids doing showing today and really sleepy parents too. Yes.
If you take a look at the picture, she took a picture of the inside of the arena, and this is at like 2 a.m. There are probably 200 horses being held in the middle of the arena. That is Oklahoma fun. Why do people live here?
Thing. It went on forever. It just went on forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And you know what? Like, as many times as I've tried to run out in the middle of the night and my husband stops me, he's like, no, you cannot go. You cannot go outside, which I know what would happen if I did go, which is I would run down to the barn in the middle of a lightning storm. Come on. And they would never come.
No, they would just stare at you. Like, what's wrong?
No, thank you.
And some horses are really good about it, wanting to stay out during storms. James is that way. He'll stay out in the pouring. You know what kind of rain we get. We finally started getting rain, so we had several inches within the 3 days, and he's outside the whole time. The other two are hiding in the barn. You know, it's just certain horses don't care.
They don't care.
No, they don't care.
Well, it was really stressful. Oh.
This is the point where I normally say what's coming up in today's show, but we have no idea. So you just get us, and whatever we talk about is what you get today. I will say that Illinois and Indiana have been getting hammered. I know that Indiana and Illinois had a rough night last night, but Illinois especially, they broke the record for the most tornadoes in a single year in Illinois, surpassing the previous record of 142.
Good Lord.
So that was just for this year. So our thoughts are with all of with everybody that's having bad weather right now. You want to do some daily whinnies? We can do that.
Yeah, I got a line. I got a long line of daily whinnies.
Okay, good, because we need something to talk about. So there we go.
You know better than that.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm.
We have one auditor birthday today, Cassidy M. Happy birthday to you. We have a brand new auditor named Lisa G. Welcome, Lisa. We're so glad that you're here. I think she posted in the auditor room yesterday. And also a belated happy Father's Day to all the horse dads out there. We forgot to do that on Friday. So happy belated Father's Day to all the horse dads.
I love it. You know what? We should forget Father's Day. They didn't do nothing.
Did you do something for your husband on Father's Day?
You know what? I did. I got, you know what I got Chad for Father's Day was I got him those little ice cream cup things that you always talk about to like make your own ice cream.
Oh, yeah, we made ice cream over the weekend in those.
Yeah, so I bought those, and then he got like a jersey.
Store if anybody wants to see what she's talking about.
Yeah, I got a U.S., soccer football jersey, team jersey. Oh, so yeah. We did all that. And then of the best of all of it was I spent time with his family yesterday, with his father and his mother and all the siblings. And I was a damn delight. Okay. A delight. I was engaged and funny and conversational and relaxed and really was immune to offense because I have found these little fun little CBD gummies that make me a damn delight. And I take them about half an hour before I make a family appearance and noticeably different in my demeanor.
Your whole family appreciates those.
Oh, yeah. No, Chad was like, did you take them yet? Did you take them? Because I was like, you have to like let me know when are planning to go because I am going to need to time my gummy intake.
He's going to be vital again, by the case.
My doctor prescribed these people. This is not something illegal. This is something you can buy.
For your birthday, for Christmas, for your anniversary.
A stocking stuffers full of calming gummies. Again, doctor prescribed, you guys. This is not some salacious drug deal that is going on. These are like CBD hemp. That's what it is. And I don't know. I just am delightful. Like, I'm delightful.
She'll be taking some of those later today, too.
So, yes, happy Father's Day. I was there. I participated. I even made a casserole. Boom.
That's the most surprising part right there.
I mean, if you're not making a casserole and you're from the South, what are you doing?
That's true. That is true. Yeah. You're not even allowed to come without a casserole.
I was asked to bring a salad. I brought a salad and a casserole. Oh, my God.
You know,
delightful.
We have
delightful.
All of these tourists in the country right now because of the World Cup. Do you think, do other countries do casseroles? We have a lot of listeners from other countries. Do you know what a casserole is? And do you take casseroles to other people's parties? We want to know because I don't know if that's just a United States thing or if that's a world thing. I have no idea.
A delicious high protein broccoli cheese casserole topped with bread. It was really good. And so, yeah, it was fun. I was awesome. So, again, that was great. My turn for daily winning, by the way.
I already played it. It's your turn.
Okay. So, a couple things here. Ashley, I love it. I just never knew that sometimes when you say things, people are going to take them very seriously. And I have another report of a marching towards death horse purchase. So congratulations to Ashley. She just bought a driving pony named Detective, and she says she's a crime junkie. So it's perfect.
And
it was meant to be.
It's a Hackney pony too. It's Hackney.
And it's a Hackney pony. Yay. So congratulations. She says, since we are marching towards death, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter anything you say after that. I'm with it. I'm all about it.
Well, congratulations to her.
Now, the other thing I want to talk about is, you know what? There's just living on a farm, you know, with lightning storms and weather and all the things last night. But you know what? What people don't talk about as often is just the severe amount of nature that is on your farm. You can't help it. It's nature, and it will find a way. Life will find a way. So yesterday morning, I am heading down to the barn, and it's like 6:30 in the morning. Sun's coming up. It's nice. But it was like a really dewy morning. So I went to get on my like side by side, and the seat was wet. Well, I can't sit on a wet seat. I have my riding pants, boots, and breeches on. I'm looking cute. Like, I'm not going to have a wet. But so I go into the garage and I grab a towel off my husband's workbench shelf, like a little hand towel. And I go out and I wipe the seat down. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to sit on it. So I like laid it out like a perfect square and climbed on, and I start driving down. Well, Homer jumps up with me. He always rides shotgun in my little side by side. So he's laying there. And as I'm driving down, about halfway down the driveway, I look down and there is a wasp in between my legs. Like it had to be in the towel. I leapt off of a traveling ranger with my dog in the passenger seat. Like a crazy person, I literally tucked and rolled out of a movie vehicle. Now, what's great is they do roll to a stop. It's not going to keep going. So Homer wasn't like by himself traveling down the street.
Running through the fence.
Yeah. But I literally jumped up. I'm sorry. Let's discuss what kind of hell it would be to be stung in the vag by a freaking wasp.
Doesn't sound fun.
Should I change that? And should I change that just in case you edit that out? Let me just say how awful it would be.
No, I'm just
going to
leave that one in. Because whether you're a man or a woman, either one down there, that's just not where you want to be stung.
I mean, I couldn't have exited faster, Glenn. I looked down. It was one of those big red ones, you know, the like hellacious ones that leave a and I get a tick bite, and
you
I have
don't
a welt.
Get stung by those. You'll have a welt for a month.
And down there, no. So I just tuck and roll. Then I have to get up and like chase the ranger because my dog is in the passenger seat, and so I'm running and I stop. I finally get to the ranger, and the wasp is sitting on Homer, and
Like.
Oh my God, I'm like the worst parent ever. So I run back and I grab the towel and I'm like shwacking the wasp, which is on my dog. And he's like, why are
whacking
you slapping
home. It's
me
like
with
when
a towel?
We slap to get the horse fly off our horse's neck. It's like, what are they thinking, right?
I know, why are you hitting me? And I'm like, I do that whole like spin the towel in a circle to like, you know, like you did in gym class. Yeah, you boys. Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah, we're all not very good at that.
What are you doing? But I will report that nobody was stung, and the wasp is currently sitting underneath the towel that is halfway down the driveway. I won't pick it up.
Do
I told Chad,
the
I'm like, you
we could
that.
Get if Homer did a segment once a month and could.
You guys, I was just driving, just sitting in my seat, and she just jumps out of the vehicle and then hits me with a towel.
Like it's my fault.
Oh, so much nature. There's just too
much. Oh, like the
much
time the snake
sometimes.
Came out of my sprayer and I threw that about 3/4 of a mile across the farm.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You're right. Hey, I saw the extra large tortoise named Sheldon the other day.
Okay.
And I told Sheldon he has a name. I called him and he didn't pay any attention to me. So he obviously doesn't know his name yet. I'll have to teach him that.
Okay. Well, remember, I told you strawberries and lettuce in a bowl and call him. I will put you in touch with Leisha and Matt Gibson, who were on the show, because Leisha has pet turtles now. And
really
she calls them
this enormous thing as a pet, to be honest.
She calls them and they come like running as far much as a turtle can like giddy up. It like comes down the pavement and like comes to the bowl and eats it. It's crazy. But I will tell you, do you have my audio available, Glenn?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. So in the world of taming wild beasts, I have been working very hard.
And this probably started with Monty, right? Let's explain. For those that don't know, Monty has a what is it, herd? Is it a pack?
I guess a herd of deer yes. that live and that have been coming to his house for generations. He feeds them every morning and every night. He calls them. He has a whistle. It's like a whole thing. You can't sleep in his house because it's 6 o'clock in the morning. He's right outside your window whistling
for the deer. And where are you going to be deer. This week? Sleeping in Monty's house.
Sleeping in Monty's house. My lack of sleep will continue. I never sleep when I'm there because... You know, you get woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which, by the way, is 4 o'clock for me. And then you hear him whistling. And then what's cool is that he decided that he needs to make him trainable for everybody to call, not just him. So now he has like a referee whistle. Oh, so he stands outside my window and blows the referee whistle for half an hour.
And all the
deer come up.
In his defense, the one time I was there, we stayed for several days at the house, and we were sleeping in the house. And I did go out and spend hours with his deer, and they do get, even to strangers, they get remarkably close. I was about a foot away from the deer, and, you know, obviously because of his 20 years of training.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Like, he's trained generations.
So what are you training on the farm to come close to you?
I am
wasps,
amassing
apparently.
Well, besides the wasp, I'm murdering those as I see fit. But in the backyard, I've had a lot of advice, and turns out I'm not the only one that is or has been amassing a crow army. I mean, I learned like they like peanuts, they like shiny things. I was putting dog food out there, like my bougie dog food.
Rid of the crows. You're the only one I know that's attracting crows.
Yeah. I'm calling
Are you okay?
them.
You're right.
You're going to be my friends, Glenn. So I would like to play a little audio of this morning's feeding, if you will, please.
Okay, hold on here. Let me get it going.
Talking, having a conversation with my crows.
That's me.
That's my. You got a crow whistle.
And they're talking back.
He's answering me back. I don't know where it is. It's up there.
What does Chad think about you talking to the crows at 6 a.m?
Didn't you hear him? You can hear him in the background. He goes, "Get him, baby!"
Did he buy you the crow whistle, or did you buy a crow whistle? Crow call, or whatever it is.
Lucas got the crow whistle from one of his friends for his birthday because they like to hunt crows. And so he got the crow whistle, and he's like, so you shoot them, and then I don't know. I guess you eat them if you're a monster. So you can call the crows. You call them, and then one comes down, and then they let everybody else know that everything's okay. And then they bring. So there's just scout crows. There's a whole science behind it. But I was like, the hell, you're hunting crows, my crows out of my backyard. So I took the whistle, and now I'm using it to make friends. And clearly, it's working because they were like, "Bitch, where's my food?" This morning, I was like, "Give me my food."
Just
I need
another
food.
Thing to feed.
I know. It's okay, though. They're going to be my friends. And eventually, someday, we're going to all sit down together and have peanuts as a group.
It's like Jennifer has these wild bird feeders outside the house, and she feeds the birds all the time. And I don't know how much we're spending on bird feed, but she loves seeing the birds at the bird feeder. And if you really think about that, though, right? Do we really need to be spending that money feeding the birds? They probably feed themselves.
Okay, here's the deal, Glenn. Okay. I will give you a hot tip. Right. Okay, so somebody told me that crows like peanuts. Great. So I went on to Amazon and like I've been into that bird store, you know, all that stuff. Oh my God, like a 2-pound bag of like mixed nuts for birds was like $25. So I just Googled unsalted, uncooked, like raw peanuts, like just regular peanuts, just peanuts. And I got 10 pounds for $8.
It's amazing. Like, we're buying all our medicines, like ibuprofen and stuff now on Amazon, because you can get it for like 500 pills for $8. You know, it's crazy.
It's insane. And so I have this now. Chad's like, "Why is there a 10-pound tub of peanuts at our back door?" And I was like, "Listen, It's just going to be there until it's not there. Okay. So you just wait, because these guys are going to be my friends and I'm going to call them and they're going to have dinner with us on the patio. It's going to be amazing. Thank you very much. See, it's working. They're answering me.
He thinks you're nuts too. Did you know, totally. I came across this the other day and I'm looking it up now. By the way, if you're new here, this is not a good episode for you to listen to.
Usually we have guests and educational segments and all that. Now I just have had no sleep and I've been scared to death all weekend. So cool.
Did you know you can buy a 2.5 pound bucket of Lucky Charms marshmallows, just the marshmallows?
They sell those in Oklahoma everywhere.
Do they really? Just the marshmallows?
I was in this, it's Atwoods, like our farm store, and they sell just these giant, like feed size bags of them. And I went up and when I'm checking out, I'm like, hi, I have a question. Does anybody buy those? I was like, clearly nobody buys those. She goes, honey, we can't keep them on the shelves.
Yeah, and I understand that because what? I will be honest with you. I like Lucky Charms and they're gluten-free, so I can actually eat them. And I've always liked Lucky Charms. That's always my guilty pleasure cereal from the time I was a little kid. And they don't put as many marshmallows as they used to. So if somebody wants to send me a bag from Amazon of the Lucky Charms marshmallows, I would happily accept them. I'll give you my
don't
address.
Eat that. don't eat that.
Need more
please.
Marshmallow. And I was always the one that carefully picked out all of the crappy bits of the Lucky Charms, you know, the cereal part, and saved the marshmallows for last. And if I had double or triple the amount of marshmallows, I wouldn't have to do that.
Well, it's currently June, and I could go to the store and I could buy them, but I would have to hold them all until Christmas, right? Because. Yes. But I really, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, I go to the store and just hold them till Christmas and mail them out at Christmas. But like, they might expire. Ha! They're not going to expire. Those things are going to survive the apocalypse.
No, they won't expire.
I can just go get them now.
They might melt into a large ball, but.
You would love that. You
feel like that'd be even better. I just have one big marshmallow in my cereal. We're in the heat of summer. Remember that every mile with traditional rubber mats is a mile where moisture and waste are trapped against your trailer floor. Fueling hidden corrosion. Worm Flooring eliminates this risk by bonding a permanent rubber seal directly to your subfloor. You get a floor that protects your aluminum from rot and seamless finish that never needs to be pulled out or scrubbed. You just take the mats out and put them somewhere else. This week, prioritize your horse's comfort and your trailer's resale value. Worm provides a cushioned, slip-resistant surface that stays cool and stable even during those unpredictable spring rainstorms. Visit wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. And this is the point where we would introduce our guest, except she's not here. So,
because your computer broke.
Yes. So, I do have history. You want to do some of that?
Bring it.
All right. I only have a couple because there wasn't much history today, believe it or not. Yeah. I don't know. On this day in history, you know, we've all heard of Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in history class. Well, they were the first U.S. volunteer cavalry. On this day in 1898, Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders landed in Daiquiri, Cuba during the Spanish-American War. I think a lot of people have heard about that in history class. Well, this is the part you didn't know. Ironically, due to a logistical nightmare and a lack of shipping space, almost all the elite cowboys and horsemen in that cavalry unit had to leave their horses behind in Florida, forcing them to fight through the Cuban campaign on foot. Doesn't that make them like the Rough Walkers?
Oh, were these the Rough Riders?
Yes. If they have to walk, they're the Rough Walkers, right? I mean, they weren't really riding anything. Oh, that must have sucked. You normally have your horse and then you have to walk. So,
well, I think I'm like, those horses were like, oh, we can't fit. Oh no.
Oh, yeah, too bad. Darn. I'll stay here in Florida.
I'll just hang out and you guys see in a minute.
On this day in 1962, Vern Elliott, one of the most foundational stock contractors in rodeo history, passed away. Elliott was the man who discovered and promoted midnight, as a horse, the horse named Midnight, widely considered the greatest bucking bronc ever to live. In the 1920s and 1930s, Elliott and Midnight transformed the American rodeo from the casual exposition that it was then to a highly organized professional sport. So he's known as the kind of the grandfather of rodeo. He really made it what it is today. So he passed away in 1962, the year I was born. That's all I got.
That's the short news. Well, here, let me tell you a little bit about Clara Fly, because as usual, this podcast cost me money. So we did the ad for Clara Fly last time, and I went and bought some because I'm in a war against nature. Clearly, Clara Fly Larvicide is more than just a fly control product. It is the first step towards improving horse comfort and keeping nuisance flies out of your stables. This feed additive uses an active ingredient that passes through the digestive system of horses and is expelled in their manure, where it stops flies in the larval stage. By using Clara Fly Larvicide as part of an integrated pest management program, you'll get more support, more expertise, and more control. Visit centralflycontrol.com to learn more or contact your local feed dealer.
Now, you haven't been using it long enough to really tell at this point. And we just got ours on Friday. So we're going to we're gonna try it too.
I bought it a couple weeks ago. So I've been using it for about 2 weeks. But the thing is, I have like horses coming and going.
Yeah.
So some have come and some have left. I'm just putting everybody is getting it. They get so little of it, you know, like an ounce for a giant horse.
Ours was a giant bucket. Was yours a giant bucket?
Yes. Yeah. It's going to last me for years. I love it. And I already bought a big bucket and like the biggest ones. And I didn't know that I would only use 1 ounce. So I'm like, I'm good for a minute. I'm good.
Well, I asked the auditors today, I said, what's the most indulgent or expensive purchase you've made for your barn or horse that you can now not live without, that you can't live without? So it was interesting, the answers. And I kind of expected that saddles would be number one, and they were. Saddles by far number one. The most expensive saddle I saw that they admitted to, and I'm not going to use names here because,
none of your business.
We don't want the husbands finding out. But the most expensive saddle I saw was $5,000. But I know our listeners have a lot more expensive saddles than that. So
I know a couple people with more expensive saddles than that. No names mentioned.
Yeah, so saddles were definitely number one. There was a lot of saddles that I saw there. The other one, there was horse trailers were number two, which I get that. It's tied actually with covered arenas. So covered arenas, which you have a new one now, covered round pen. Yeah. And Lisa, I can mention her. She has her covered arena now and she can't live without it. But horse trailers, but it wasn't, and this is my answer too. It wasn't just a horse trailer. It was living quarters horse trailers.
Yeah.
I got to tell you that we only had ours for like 3 or 4 years because then now we don't ever go anywhere. But when we had it, I don't know how we went anywhere with the horses without having a bathroom right there with you. I personally liked having the bathroom right there with us all the time. I don't care about anything else. I had the bathroom along. That was just for the horse husband here. That was wonderful.
And a fridge. I know you like the fridge,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the fridge, too. Yeah. Yeah, having the fridge and just, you know, and as a horse husband, a place you could just hide. And it was, you know, you could just hide in there, take a nap, yeah. Whatever. I don't know. So I would say the LQ horse trailer, which was for us was a huge, well, it is a huge expensive purchase, right? You can't buy those for cheap. So that was ours, I think. So if you have, before we go into the listeners, think about yours, okay?
Okay, I got mine.
All right, we'll do yours last. This person said my leather pleasure driving harness with chrome fittings and a beautiful pale yellow road cart to go with it.
So the harness. Oh, by the way, and the cart.
And the cart. Yes. Oh, and that cart thing. Although the harness probably caused her more than the cart. I got to say, when I got my Fry cart for Scooter, I was so glad. That was not a cheap card. They were not cheap. And I'm so glad I did. I mean, I sold it pretty much for about as much as I paid for it years later. I bought some more expensive brushes. And the horse much prefers them. Have you ever bought really? First of all, I didn't know how expensive brushes you could get until I went to the trade show. And you can spend $100 on a brush. I mean, they have some very expensive brushes out there.
I'm not responsible enough to have expensive things laying around. I will say, like, I use the hands-on glove and the tiger tongue. That's like pretty much all I use.
And I, you know, I get it. We don't have any expensive brushes either. I bought rubber. What's that?
I have plenty of expensive brushes. You just don't know where they are.
Oh, she said, Jennifer says she has plenty of expensive brushes. I just don't know where they are.
Smart woman.
My Rubbermaid wheelbarrow. I've had it for 25 years and use it daily.
Those are spendy.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, though, I like a good wheelbarrow. We watch all of these home fix-up shows, and especially the ones from Europe. They always have these crappy little metal wheelbarrows. They're tearing out the entire insides of a house and using these crappy little... I don't know if they don't sell nice wheelbarrows over there or what, but every time we see somebody using a crappy wheelbarrow, it's like, okay, spend $100 and get a good wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. My horse farm, bought 10 plus acres, built it from the ground up, house, barn, indoor in 1984. So nice. She's had a lot of time to enjoy her horse farm. Is there anything you would change about yours? Cause you built it from the ground up too. Your whole farm.
My farm? More. I want more.
More acres?
More everything. I want more everything, but as far as the things I have built, there is not much I regret at all. Like I'm super happy with the way that it shapes up. And we just keep adding things like gates and just different, you know, like, hey, I want a gate here. Chet's like, okay. And he just puts in a gate. And then I'm like, this one's too small. Put in a bigger gate. And he's like, okay, I'll put in a bigger gate. We just like, it's awesome. Like, you'll never have too many gates.
No, I agree with you there. I do agree with that. Because it's nothing like, and you know, I don't know if it's just we're lazy or just trying to be efficient. I think we're lazy. But when you see the gates all the way over there and you're thinking, I'm all the way over here. And if I had a gate, I wouldn't have to walk all the way over there. And you do that 100 times, then you you say, Chad, put in a gate.
That's pretty much what I do. I'm like, I don't want to walk 17 steps that way and then 17 steps back. Like, I need a gate. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But it's awesome. Like, never go wrong with too many gates. Do you want my indulgence things?
Yes.
Or are you?
Okay. I got some more here, but we can do yours.
So, obviously, today's a sponsor. Of worm flooring. I did the worm flooring and it is one of my favorite things I've done on my entire farm. Like, I just love it.
She's not just saying that because they're a sponsor. She really does love it.
No, like I paid for it. Like, it's not like they were like, here, we'll do this if you do commercial. No, that's not how it works. Like, I literally love it. My pulse machine, the PEMF machine.
Oh, somebody else said that too. Somebody else.
We had a huge hailstorm and I got this big check. And so I was like, we're going to buy things. The other thing we bought with it was our automatic gate. Oh my gosh.
I'd love to get one. They're not cheap either. You're right. They're indulgent.
I cannot go back. Like, and it'll be like broken for a day, you know, so it's down. I'm like, oh my God, I have to get out and open the gate.
You know, when that's the worst,
did it all the time,
is when you're in the middle of the Florida afternoon torrential rain and you just pull in and look at the gate.
So that, and then, of course, the most indulgent horse purchase I've ever made, which is Amigo, which I'm incredibly happy about. So,
yeah, I wasn't letting them use horses because I think that would be all our answers. But the PMF blanket was on the list, and also the shockwave therapy machine was somebody had one of those that was on the list.
Nice.
And they use it on themselves, I think, too. Back on track, cooling blankets. Yes. Oh, Fly Predators. Look, another one of our sponsors. Also, somebody said they're Flex and Fork. And I would have to say that, yes, they're indulgent because they're, what, 4 or 5 times the cost of regular manure forks. But they last freaking forever. And
I mean, Yeah, you can buy 10 or buy one. You know what I mean?
Like, I clean up. We always get branches come down off these pine trees all the time. And I use the flexing fork to throw them in the bucket of the tractor.
That's awesome.
Couldn't do that with a regular fork. They would break. I mean, I put them through torture. By the way, I didn't even tell you this. I heard from the new company. So Joseph sold the flexing fork company and the shaking fork company to a organization out of Las Vegas. Yeah, Nevada. And they wrote to me and said they just wanted to let me know they're still in business and they're still selling forks. So if you're looking for one, you can just Google it. You'll find their website and you can still get them. Apparently, they're making them and they're in business. So we weren't sure there for a while. So I wanted to let you know that. My tack room, it's my favorite place. And she had a picture of the tack. It's a very nice tack room. I mean, when you go to Reese's tack room, who's host of the Dressage Show. That's like a tack room dream. I could live in her tack room. It's so nice. Everything is...
It's a DQ tack room.
It is.
I mean, obviously.
Everything's in these very nice wood cabinets. And it's all hidden behind the wood cabinet doors. And it's just nice. I mean, it's a nice tack room.
You would open up my cabinet, it would just tumble out.
Yes. Ours is just covered in dust because it's in the middle of the barn. Tractor. I do love our tractor. You know what I would say even beyond the tractor? We always had a tractor. Even the 100-acre farm, we had a tractor, right? But we never had a front-end loader. I don't know how I lived without a front-end loader. Maybe I was just much younger, but I couldn't live without a front-end loader today.
You're like, I'll pick it up.
Do you use yours all the time, your front-end loader?
Well, let me remind you that I am scared to drive the tractor. I don't drive the tractor. I think that they're death machines and I'm terrified of it. But my husband drives it.
You're the only horse girl in the world that doesn't drive the tractor.
I'm terrified of it. Like, I just feel like it's going to flip over. I told you guys, I went to equine management school at the Kentucky Horse Park when I was 18 years old. And every morning, Margie Stickney, my instructor, would come in every morning with she would cut out an article out of the Lexington paper and it would be like, so-and-so's tractor rolled over on them and they died. And so it would just ingrained like this deep-seated fear of tractor driving. Thank you, Margie.
That was out of Kentucky, though. They do have some steep hills there, a little more than
yeah,
yours.
No, it was in Kentucky, but yeah. The whole point was she's like, I want you guys to just be aware that these are very dangerous things.
That was it.
I'm good. And so Chad has a front end loader on his tractor. I just wave at him as he drives by.
Oh, I use it for everything. I don't know
how. Oh my God. I'm watching Chad walk up the driveway now and he's carrying the wasp towel. He picked it up. I just leave things places and he just picks them up. It's great.
Here's one that I think everybody wishes they had, but it's not that expensive to install, but it's a hassle. And that's a water heater in the barn.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah, especially if you live up north. I mean, that would be really nice.
You know, Larissa showed me this water heater thing. You just like kind of like drop it in a bucket and it heats the water and you can just spray it. It's like this whole machine thing. Yep. But I realize I'm not going to be bathing horses in the cold. I don't want to. And so I'm just not going to do it.
And stuff in the winter where it's really cold out. I can see it. You know, I can see it.
I think too, like when we were building our barn, I was like, I need to put a bathroom in it because I pee every 5 minutes. And what I realized is I was going to have to put in an entire new septic system. And I was like, you know what? I'll pee in a stall. So like, I was not that indulgent. I was still responsible.
Well, that was the list. Thank you guys for helping us out, auditors. We really appreciate it. If you want to become an auditor, you can just do that by going to horseradionetwork.com, scrolling down to about the middle of the page, and you'll see an auditor banner there. And for as little as $3 a month, you too can do that. So two things. One is I wanted to mention again that our episode 4000 is coming up. We're going to do it on Zoom on July the 19th at 8 p.m. That is a Sunday night at 8 p.m. We did that for you guys, and we'll play it as Monday's show. We're working out. We're meeting with Ashley next week to work out the details of what's going to happen. I do know that Jean Abernethy is joining us. She's the one that draws Fergus, and she's going to be doing a drawing of us live all night. We'll check in with her during the show so you get to see her do her thing, which I think is kind of cool. She does all of that on an iPad. She does all of her drawings with a pen and a color. I don't know how she does it. We'll find out. So we're going to have that, and we're planning a couple other special things, too, for that night. It's very rare that a show hits 4,000 episodes. We think we're one of five or six in the world that have done that as independent podcasts. I'm taking
NPR. Too stubborn to quit.
I'm taking NPR out of it because they've had a lot. But, you know, I'm kind of taking them out of the picture.
They're government subsidized. Yes. So.
Now, you're not here on Wednesday because you're heading out. Ashley's going to fill in for you. But you're heading out to Monty's place.
Yes.
And, you know, for new listeners, we're talking Monty Roberts' house, his farm in California, because you do something every year. Just remind everybody what you do.
So it is the movement, and basically it's 3 days of, like, you know, like learning a lot about the way horses think, and then watching a lot of demos. We'll like do some wild horses. I'll do a starter horse and try to get a rider on it, you know, and you kind of see everything and everybody hangs out. It's just a really lovely time to hang out with Monty and his crew. And this time, Friday night, the comedian Maxie Wittrick is going to.
Oh, is she going?
Yeah, she's coming. So I'm super excited. Yay. She's going to be there.
Our Christmas specials. Yes.
Yeah. So where we usually have like a Jared Rogerson concert and wine and cheese, now we're going to have wine, cheese, and a comedian. So it's going to be really fun.
I'm so excited about that. You've not met her. Neither one of us have met her in person, I don't think.
No, but it was so fun to call her to try to like get the information imparted so I could hand it over to Debbie. And she and I talked on the phone for like half an hour, like we were besties. I'm super excited to hang out with her. Yay, so
I'm excited for you to hang out with her. She's so cool.
Yeah. And then I got a message from Debbie yesterday. We've got some great starters for you. I mean, you know what? Like I'm 48. Yeah. I'm 48. Why not do starters in front of a crowd with Monty Roberts watching? What could possibly go wrong? I'm going to knock on wood right now. Yeah, so that's going to be exciting. Sure. Like, it's going to be great. I'm super excited. Really looking forward to it.
When we do interviews, you and I do interviews for other people, we always get asked that, like, what was your favorite episode, right? I mean, you always get asked that question. And I have mine, you have yours, and we've answered it so many times before, I think we know it now. But it's always tough to answer the what's the one thing questions when you're a guest. It's one of the hardest things. So I'm going to ask you one of those and make it hard for you today.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I know, go ahead.
I know. It involves Monty. So if you had to pick one thing in your whole time in the learning that you've done with Monty and his program and all of that, that you take away as the one thing that changed your life, that one thing, what would it be?
Calmness.
I would have guessed that would be your answer.
Really?
Yes.
I just if you can be smooth and calm, you can get so much done. It's just amazing.
In life, not just horses, right?
Yeah. Like when you learn this stuff, transmits.
Calmness and gummy bears for the life. Well, part,
that's for the family. Yes. Around the horses, I don't take the gummy bears. I think one time we were sitting in the classroom with Monty and he's like, hey, does anybody want to guess what Jamie learned yesterday? And everybody's like, oh, she learned how to do this. And he's like, nope, she learned how to breathe. And it was like so intense. Like that is what I've learned to do is just take a breath, just breathe. Like, here we go. Everything's going to be fine. Like, it's just a whole different way that I've approached coming to horses and it makes it so much better. So thank you for asking that question. That's probably the one thing. Just so you know, you can also learn this. I do have the 2 spots left for my clinic in October. It's the Monty Roberts intro course. So it's all of this stuff, starting horses and breathing and the way horses think. And it's October the 6th through the 15th. Hold on. I got to look here.
I didn't mean to set you up, but I'm glad I did.
Well, you did. October 5th through the 16th is 2 weeks. And then I have 1 spot left in the house for a lady who wants to come. But other than that, like, I think that's the most important part. Now, will I get yelled at by Monty this weekend? Most likely.
That hasn't changed.
That has not changed. No. I will tell you, last year, like, I had to do a starter in front of everybody, and I take extra steps. Why? Because I'm not on a 30-minute time crunch when I'm at home. You know what I mean? Like he always had to do these. I'm not in road to the horse mode. I'm slow and patient, and I take extra steps. And so let's see if it happens again this year, I was going to start a horse in front of him. And I told Debbie, I was like, listen, I do extra steps. I'm going to do the extra steps. And I don't want to hear about it because I'm going to do it. And extra steps is like, instead of putting the saddle on first, which his timing is impeccable. Like, he doesn't make mistakes. I make mistakes. So I got to dumb it down a little bit, you know? So I had to do a sir single first. I do some other stuff. And so I get the starter, and he was like, and he's talking to the whole crowd while I'm doing the starter. And he was like, all right, this is the point I would put saddle on. But Jamie's not going to do that. She has to do some other stuff first. I'm like, thank you. Cool. So I put this first go on. He did. Because I like told Debbie with an inch of life, like, I am going to do this. And he is not going to like it, but I'm going to do it. It's still in his, it just breaks it down even further for people like me who are human that make mistakes. So I did that. And then I finally get the saddle put on, and I get the saddle put on the horse and tighten the girths, you know, and I go to send it off, and the horse just trots off. And he was like, wow, because this sucker was wild. Okay. Like, pretty wild. And he's like, wow, it didn't even buck. That horse didn't even buck. I'm surprised. And I'm like, maybe it's because I did the extra step. We get to the very end, and he looks at his watch, and he was like, well, she got that done in 34 minutes. 34 minutes, pretty good. It had been 30 if she wouldn't have done the extra steps.
He couldn't help himself.
I was amazing. Now, to be fair, I have not started a horse since last movement. So if you guys want to see some excitement this weekend, it's going to be great. Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Speaking of training things, we started doing the balloon popping to get them used to noises for cool. 4th of July coming up. And you had us do balloon popping while they're eating their dinner. And, you know, I got to say that James is the one we're doing this for, because the other two, we lived with the other two on a farm that had a gun range. So They're not bothered by that at all. But James didn't care at all. Like, didn't even look up.
Yay!
So we're going to continue doing that. You know, every night we do it while they're eating their dinner, because at nighttime's when the fireworks start, right? So we're going to do that while they're eating their dinner, and we'll see if it continues that way. But so far, so good. He didn't look up. Is everybody else doing their balloon training? You should.
I've been doing it, and Amigo doesn't care because he is the unshoeable horse. So you can't phase him. He's unfazable. But I have a barn full of thoroughbreds that all thought the roof was falling down, and now they're okay.
They all tried to and bolt remember, out the closed stall.
they got their heads in their bucket, and then when they're eating, you blow up a balloon and then you pop it. And I mean, the head shot up like. But after three times, they were like, whatever. Ace was already like, not again.
To do the balloon thing for those new people, new guys. God.
So annoying when she does this. So yeah, it's fine. It's going good.
Well, so far so good with James. We're hoping, because I'm just, it's going to be a loud year. Before we wrap up the show, we will do a short post show for you. We talked for 48 minutes about absolutely nothing. We did well today.
Nobody's listening anymore. Well, every time I say that, people get mad at me. Yes, so there's somebody listening.
Anymore. You can't say that anymore. There was a 27-year-old white rhinoceros named Kendi that regained her sight after a very unusual operation. This apparently had never been done before. This was at Disney's Animal Kingdom, and they worked with a team of veterinarians from UK, from the University of Kentucky, and they actually spent a very long time getting this ready. This animal had gotten cloudiness in the right eye, cataracts basically, right? But they've never done any eye surgery like this on a large animal like a rhinoceros, who are known for not being a little testy at times. What they did is they did years of preparation, and they trained Kendi to accept daily eye drops and utilize a custom protective mask designed by Disney.
I can't even get a dang horse to do that.
They designed a Disney mask. It looked like a Disney vest too. The costuming team did it. And it went over the face and eye because after the surgery, they knew they were going to have to protect the eye. So, and the other thing is when you put a 27-year-old white rhinoceros under, it's a chore, right? They have to make sure they got that right. But they did the surgery and they said it was a very unusual surgery. Even they didn't even know if it could be done. And it was successful. The rhinoceros can see again. So they consider it a success, and now apparently zoos across the world are getting information about this kind of surgery on these animals because nobody's done it before. So
who has a bunch of rhinos sitting out back with cataracts?
Not just rhinos, but they haven't done really cataract surgery on a lot of the big animals. They just don't do it. They just let them go blind, I guess. And now they're starting to reconsider that. So thanks to the UK, right up the street from me here in Gainesville.
What's the heck of a vet bill?
Yeah, I can't imagine. Get anesthesia Cition alone.
For rhinoceros.
Anesthesia alone. All right, there's my good news story for the day. Old Kendi can see again. We'll see y'all in
Way
the post show.
All right, spend it or geld, everybody.
We do have a full week of shows for you. I wanted to mention Solange tomorrow in her. She does a special episode every month on called Stable Riding, where she talks about riders and stuff. She has a special episode tomorrow that was really good, and it applies to you. And she talks specifically about short riders. Vertically challenged riders. And she believes that it's wrong for trainers to teach them in the same way because they have different challenges than tall riders. But yet most trainers try and teach them the same. So she really talks about that as a couple guests on who are 5 foot tall. And she talks about the differences in training short riders and tall riders, which I'm sure is something you've come across in your career in riding. But anyway, that'll be tomorrow's special stable riding episode.
I already said it.
Times two.